I will stand in the presence of Jesus, and I'll see the Lord face to face. With my very eyes I'll witness His glory when I finally finish my race. But the burdens of life sometimes get so heavy that I need to touch Him somehow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch Him now. I can reach out and touch the hem of His garment. I know He will make me whole, for He's passing by this very moment. Can you feel the virtue that flows? Someday I will walk through the gates of that city. By grace I will make it somehow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch Him now. In the presence of angels and millions of saints round the throne, I'll worship the Lord and sing hallelujah without all the trouble I've known. And I'll see those hands that lifted my burdens, and I'll see those scars on His brow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch Him now. I can reach out and touch the hem of His garment. I know He will make me whole, for He's passing by this very moment. Can you feel the virtue?
Thank you, Lord, for your loving mercies, your loving kindnesses, your loving graces. You've been good to us, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We magnify Rapus Aliber Nordry. I'll lift your hearts up to Him a little bit, will you? Lord, we just love you. We love you. We adore you. We magnify you. We exalt you. Help us, God, to humble ourselves now and hear what you're saying to us this morning. We give praise to the great God of heaven. We give praise to the great God of heaven. Bless His sweet and holy name. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. I want to read just a few verses there, and then we'll go to the book of St. John. I have what I believe is a very special message this morning. I'm quite excited about it. I know that God's Word is able to change our lives. It's so good to have our sister with us. She's going to sing for us tonight, a special. And I know that will be a blessing to you. I heard it yesterday, and she did beautiful. We serve a big God. He is a marvelous God, and he cares about you. Hallelujah. And it's good to be in the house of God this morning. Every one of you, it's good to be in the house of God. And I'm going to preach out of my heart, and I pray that it will somehow be a blessing to you. Let's go to Exodus 12 for our text this morning. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Notice that word, lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Some of you will remember a sermon that Brother Smith preached on a lamb for a house. It was a wonderful sermon, very different from what I'm preaching, but that was a memorial sermon that day. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count, or you'll count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole congregation, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herb shall eat it. Now, there's a lot more in that great story, and I will share a little of that with you. But I want to preach this morning on the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Would you repeat those words with me? The Lamb of God. You may be seated. May God help me preach today. I really want to say what he wants me to say. I want to preach a sermon that you don't forget. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Did a little research with the help of Brother Ken. I always like to look at these kind of subjects and make sure we understand them well. The word lamb is in the Old Testament 142 times. 142 times. In no case does it indicate Jesus Christ. It is a type. It is a shadow. The Lamb of the Old Testament is the shadow of the Lamb of God of the New Testament. So when the Old Testament spoke of the Lamb, it was speaking of a sacrifice, an animal to be offered as a blood offering unto the Lord. And in this first case that we have here in Exodus 12, the blood is put on the doorpost and over the threshold of the door, so that night, a death angel passed through all of Egypt. But every family that was in those houses where the blood was on the doorpost and over the door, those houses were kept safe. But in every other house, the elder son of that house died. That happened also to the animals throughout all of Egypt. It was a night of tremendous sorrow. It was a night of great tears and great, great pain. And the country of Egypt suffered to such an extent that the next day the Pharaoh said, get out of Egypt. Take all you got, take everything. And Israel was thrust out of Egypt that day. I mean, they were thrust out. They gave them their gold and their silver and their treasures just to get them to leave. I'm telling you, it was one tremendous victory for the house of Israel and the people of the Jews. Now, that word lamb in the Old Testament is a type of the Lamb of God of the New Testament. the type of the Lamb of God of the New Testament, so that there is no word in the Bible that is better by which to describe Jesus than the Lamb of God. Did you know that? There's no better title. There's no better name. Now let me tell you what got a hold of me this morning. I think so often of how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the highest point of our attention throughout the church and the kingdom of God and the study of the Bible. There's no words that match the words that is used to describe the many offices and the many representations of Jesus Christ. Oh, we call him the Rose of Sharon. We call him the Lily of the Valley. We call him the Bright and Morning Star. We call him Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which is, which was, and which is to come. We call him the Bread of Life. We call him the Water of Life. We call him the Light of the World. We call him the Rose of Sharon. I mean, the names, the superlative names that we use in describing Jesus is a litany list. It is long. There are names on my door yonder, maybe 50, 60, never counted them, of Jesus' name. I mean, wonderful. The first chapter of Revelation. He is mentioned 41 times with words descriptive of Jesus Christ. First chapter of the book of Revelation. So in the Bible, the names for Jesus are just incredible names. They are names that we use because he is the greatest. He is above all. The Father gave him a name which no man could surpass. And that name is a name which is above all names, the Bible said. And the name is so great that every knee shall bow before it, and every tongue shall confess it. And so I'm telling you, the name of Jesus is something spectacular. Many, many superlatives we use to speak of Jesus. But it dawned on me that all of those names seem to make us haughty and proud and happy. We're part of this Christian faith. We raise our shoulders and we stretch our thoughts and our mind, and we think of what a special people we are, that we have a Redeemer like our Redeemer, and a Savior like our Savior, and a blessed Lord like our blessed Lord. And we think of seeing him in eternity. Hallelujah. And just exactly what John saw in Revelation 1, we will see him in that kind of spectacular fashion on that glorious day. But then, the name, the Lamb of God, not used often. I never hear people standing up and just getting everybody to quote the Lamb of God. They're getting them to quote the Rose of Sharon. They're getting them to quote the Lily of the Valley. They're getting them to say the Bright and Morning Star. I mean, we use those names because they are worshipful names, and we love them, and there's nothing wrong in using them. But this morning, I want us to think of him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And it seemed to dawn on me that maybe that's the name that would make us love him more. That's the name that maybe would get a hold of us and dig us up. John said it. Let's look at St. John chapter 1. John the Baptist, of course, speaking, but John the writer, of course, the disciple. John 1 and 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The first time in the New Testament sense that Jesus is called the Lamb of God is right here. John the Baptist, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It wasn't the name Rose of Sharon that we used to speak of his sacrifice. Wasn't the name Lily of the Valley that we used to speak of his death. Wasn't the name, the Bright and Morning Star that we used to think of him saving the sinner. It's the name the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And as I prayed early this morning and began to seek Him and began to think of that name, praying for the Holy Ghost to give me a love for Him greater than I've ever had in all of my life. I want to love Jesus. I heard Brother Switzer preach at the camp meeting Thursday night in Bladenburg, North Carolina. And he preached on the prelude to Pentecost. The prelude to Pentecost. And when he finished preaching that sermon, the glory of God filled that tabernacle. It was a marvelous experience. But the thing that got a hold of me was they were so in love with Jesus. They wasn't just in love with the high and the lofty one. They'd never seen him like John saw him in the book of Revelation. All they'd ever seen him was as a lamb who had come from heaven to die on a tree. Although they didn't understand it. They saw it and they fell in love with that Lamb of God. And as he went to Calvary and died on the cross and became truly the biblical Lamb of God, they loved him even greater. And it's no wonder that they tarried 10 days and 10 nights waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were so in love with him, it was consuming them. They were so filled with that love. They were so running over with that love. And no wonder God could fill them with the Holy Ghost like he did, because their love for him was absolutely, absolutely overwhelming. They was in love with Jesus. You know, this morning, if we could think of him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, let me spend a moment. I want to talk about a lamb. What are the reasons why God chose this term for Jesus, the Lamb of God? You see, in the Old Testament, it was never the Lamb of God. It was simply a lamb, an animal. In the New Testament, it's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But that never really became big until it got to the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation, beginning with chapter 5, he's seen then as the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb that was slain. And then 25 times between Revelation 5 and Revelation 22, he's called the Lamb, or the Lamb of God, or the Lamb of God that was slain. So we can see the wonderful evolution from the book of Exodus, all through that Old Testament, and then the words of John, and now in the book of Revelation, we see him there as the Lamb of God, and the picture of him is breathtakingly beautiful, as a lamb that had been slain. Now think. Come on, listen. Think. Here he is standing before the Father, about to take that book from the Father's hand. We'll read that in a little bit. The book of Revelation 5. And they look and they see this lamb, and they see him as a lamb that had been slain. Though the death marks are all over him. There's blood about him. There's wounds all over him. He's a pitiful looking sight. If you're thinking only of the humanity of it all and the pain of it all, he's a pitiful looking sight. But he is so breathtaking and so powerful as this vision of the Lamb that had been slain, that he could walk right up to the Father and take a 6,000 year old scroll that had been sealed by the Father for 6,000 years, and nobody could look at it, and nobody could touch it, and certainly nobody could read it, but this lamb, as it had been slain, was able to take that book from the Father and open that seal, and the whole process of revelation is now underway, because the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, one scripture says, has now taken the book from the Father that spells the end of sin and the end of wickedness and the end of sorrow. God is about to do something breathtaking. Somebody raise a hand and say hallelujah with me. Now let me talk about the lamb a minute. A lamb is a lowly, humble creature. No creature that you ever will look at, you will ever look upon, you'll ever consider, that is more lowly and humble than a lamb. That's why the Father used that as the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't look like a lamb. This is only the type. This is only a way of the Bible communicating to us how really special the Son of God was. How really supernatural the Son of God was. That he could step out of the eternities of the heavens. He could step right out of the Father's presence. He could move right from being among the angels and elevated above every other angel. And he could come and be as lowly and as meek and as humble as a lamb. Oh, what a picture. I tell you, it's made me love him all over again. It's made me love him all over again. Not only is he lowly and humble, but the sacrifice. As you look upon him, you're looking upon a sacrifice. You're looking upon that which shall be given, that which will die, that which will suffer, that which will take our place, that which will bear our iniquities and our sins and all of our wickedness, that which will be offered unto God as a token for our sorrows and our heartbreaks. Hallelujah. So you look at him not only lowly and humble, but a sacrifice. A lamb is the sacrificial animal. I mean, the whole picture of lambs are sacrifices. The whole picture of the Old Testament. Never was a lamb seen as a plaything for the children. Never was a lamb seen as something to love and toddle, a coddle. No, never. No, always the lamb was a sacrifice. And so that's the picture you see of Jesus. Not only was it a lowly and humble creature, not only a sacrifice, but it was an offering to God for the sins of the world. An offering to God for the sins of the world. I don't know what you think of you before you were saved, but I know when I think of me before I was saved, I was desperate. I needed a redeemer. I needed somebody that would take my place. I needed somebody that was righteous, that would take my sins from me and give me their righteousness. Hallelujah. And that's this offering of sin, this Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. Do you get that message? Is that not beautiful to you? Then think of this. A lamb is totally helpless of himself. You go out in the woods, take a big pen where the lambs and the sheep are kept, and you take one little lamb out of that midst of all of those lambs and all of the sheep and no shepherd, and you put him out there in the woods by himself. He wouldn't last an hour. He would be blessed to last 30 minutes because a lamb is totally helpless. Totally helpless. He was never able to protect himself. Do you understand that that's how Jesus came? That he never came to protect himself. He was delivered every time because God gave him a supernatural miracle. He never fought back. He never raised his hands. He never raised his tongue. He never said one word to his haters and his persecutors. He was humble and just as fragile as a lamb. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about your Savior being in that fashion when he walked on the coast of this earth? Have you ever thought of the fragility of his whole time here? That he was a sacrifice. He never protected himself. He never fought back. He was always a helpless lamb. Hallelujah. Raise your hand if you could love on him a minute. Is he worthy of your love this morning? I mean, totally helpless. Hallelujah. No capacity to hold a grudge. He could. You take a little lamb. If you would go out where he's in a group of sheep, and you would hurt him and you would beat on him, and you would go on about your business and come back tomorrow, he wouldn't remember you. He wouldn't hold a grudge against you. Oh, there are animals that do hold grudges. They tell me that an elephant will never forget somebody who treats them ugly, talks ugly, acts ugly, brings pain. They'll never forget it. But a little lamb remembers no grudges. That's Jesus. No grudges. When they were crucifying him, they nailed him. He was in pain that is beyond measure. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Hallelujah. No capacity of grudges. Not one, not any. And he was vulnerable. He was vulnerable to any prey. Vulnerable to any prey. But last of all, he was the sweetest. You can't find an animal sweeter than a little lamb. Now you think about it. Think about it. We never thought about things like this. I sat down this morning. The Lord was talking to me and wrote these seven descriptions of a lamb. And noted that in every case, there were a type of my Savior and my Lord. And I'm here to tell you, I fell in love with Him all over again. I began to tell Him how much I love Him. I want you to think of your Savior, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Think of all of His love. Think of the fact that He was completely a sacrifice. Think of how vulnerable He was. Think that He never had a grudge. He never fought back. There was no vile in His voice. There was no action in His hands. He was just here to be a sacrifice. And when they crucified Him, He was willing. And they beat Him in an inch of His life. But never did He raise a tongue. Hallelujah. That's your Savior. That's the one you're supposed to love with all of your heart. That's the one you ought to give every bit of your life to. That's the one, if you'll love Him, He'll fill you with His Holy Ghost and make a great servant of God out of you. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Would you raise your hand and just love on Him a minute? Just love on Him a minute. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Now, you see Him in the Old Testament. I want you to notice something before I pass too quickly. When they took Him out from the sheepfold, the 10th day of that month, as God had talked to them, he was to stay with that family for the next 4 days. And I can see every one of the children in that house loving on that little lamb. I mean, he was the joy of that house for 4 days. They didn't even want to go to bed at night. They wanted to love the lamb. Somebody wants him to sleep right beside their bed, right beside their mat if they were sleeping on the floor. That lamb became the love of the house. And the fourth day, after everybody had fallen in love with him, the dad says, "Now we're fixing to kill the lamb," and everybody starts screaming. Everybody starts crying. The kids are having a hissy. I mean, they are upset. They're going to kill that lamb, and we just learned to love him. But you see, they had to understand that their sacrifice was costing something. Their sacrifice was something that they had fell in love with. That's something that was dear to them. And I want to tell you, the sacrifice of Christ will become more real to you when you fall in love with him like those children did, that little lamb. When you love him with all of your heart, when you say, "That's my Savior, that's my Redeemer, I can't wait till I see him, I can't wait till I'm in his presence, I can't wait till we spend 1,000 and 1,000,000 years together," that's the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. You will love him like you've never loved him, and that's the need this morning. Raise your hand up and ask God to pour out the love of God on you by the Holy Ghost, will you? Father, pour out the love of Christ on us by the Holy Ghost. Fill us with the love of God. Fill us with the love of Christ. Fill us with the love of our Savior until he can then fill us with his Holy Ghost and make us a blessing. Hallelujah. This proud, haughty generation wants a rose of Sharon, but God, people want a lamb sacrifice for their sins. Hallelujah. 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 I think there's something wrong with our generation, that all they ever speak of him are in these superlative terms. All they ever speak of him is something lofty and something high. We need to talk about him as the Savior, as the Redeemer, as the sacrifice, as the one who took our place. In other words, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Would you raise your right hand and just say, "The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, there's so much there to talk about. It's really breathtaking. But I want to go to Revelation chapter 5 because I want us to see the end of all of this. Hallelujah. The lamb that they were slain there in Egypt. and the blood of that lamb put on the lintels and on the doorpost and the flesh of that lamb eat. I mean roasted and eat, and not any of it could be left for the next day. It had to be burned with fire, whatever was left. It was a beautiful sacrifice. But then we see John calling him the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we see that all through the New Testament, 33 times the Lamb is spoken of in the New Testament. 33 times, but that includes 25 of them in the book of Revelation. 25, only 8 of them in the Gospels and the Epistles. But now we come to Revelation. The first chapter is over. John saw him in all of his majesty. Then the two letters, two chapters of the letters to the churches, that's behind us. The fourth chapter is over. The rapture's already taken place. And here's the Father on his throne. And this great sea of glass is crowded with the resurrected saints and all the bride of Christ and all the happy crowd of those who've been in the grave, some of them nearly 6,000 years. And now they're all together around the throne of God. There's the Holy Ghost. There are the cherubims and the seraphims. It's an angelic multitude. You talking about a sight to behold? That's going to be one of them. God on his throne up in the midair. This great sea of glass where all the bride of Christ are gathered. All the saints of God, Old and New Testament. There's the Holy Ghost, seven spirits of God. There's the angels, cherubims and seraphims. All the beautiful angels, multitudes of them. They're having a glorious time. And the Father's on his throne. And the Father comes out with a book. It's a sealed book. Seven seals written inside and on the backside. And nobody's ever seen it but the Father. I mean, it's a totally, totally private book in the Father's possession. It is a picture of the future of all prophecy to bring this earth to a place of complete redemption. So it's a marvelous book. It's a book of cleansing this earth. It's a book of redeeming the saints. It's a book of a new Jerusalem and a new heaven and a new earth. It's a book all about the ending of the Antichrist and the false prophet and the devil. I mean, it's an incredible book. Sealed with seven seals. And the Father is looking for somebody to open the book. And there stands John. Go to it now. But Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof?" And I wept much. John, standing there weeping, tears are flooding. He's sobbing with sorrow. Here's the Father with this great book. This book he knows represents the title deed of the earth that's been sold to the devil by Adam and Eve in the garden. And now the redemptive process is at hand. And the book for this redemption is right there in the Father's hand. But there's nobody that can open the book. The book is sealed. The book is God's book. The language of the book is absolutely beyond human languages. Nobody was available to open the book. There stands John. And John says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy." Notice this. "To open and to read, neither to look thereon." This book, Brother Marlon, is so divine that not a human being on the earth could look at it. The sparkle, the glory, the majesty of this book, the redemption of everything, the redemption of a whole universe, the elimination of the devil and every one of his demons. I mean, the conclusion of all matters of Bible prophecy. The finishing of all of God's plan of complete redemption of this universe is all there in the book, but nobody can even look on it. Nobody can read it. Nobody can touch it. It's in the Father's hand. Nobody else has ever touched it. The angels have never handled it. Jesus had never handled it. The Holy Ghost had never handled it. It was the Father's. Are you listening? And nobody was found worthy. And so everything was in vain. It all was about to conclude in disaster. The earth was about to become a wilderness. Everything was going to fall apart. The devil was going to be in charge. Unless somebody could be found to open that book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the elders, one of the saints, hey, one of the resurrected crowd. One of the resurrected crowd saith unto me, "Weep not, John. John, come on, wake up, John. Wake up, John. Don't you know what's going on, John?" I like that, don't you? You say John was perfect. No, John's just like you and I. He was still in the human side. And this elder who had been glorified. See, the elder talking to him has been glorified. John hasn't been glorified. You understand that? The elder talking to him is one of the raptured saints. He's been glorified. But John, is, though he's caught up in the spirit, he's still hearing and feeling with his flesh. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Hath prevailed. I don't know what John understood that as soon as it was spoken or not, but he's fixing to understand it. I know he's hearing these wonderful names, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Those are pretty strong terms. Those are wonderful heritages that Jesus came in representation of. They speak of his background, that the plan for Jesus had been throughout the Old Testament. The day of Christ coming had been set by the Father, and he was the Root of David. He was from the lineage of David. David was his great grandfather somewhere back there. And so Jesus was of the Root of David and of the Lion of Judah. And John looks, and behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, he's right up there with the Father. Right up there with the Father. And of the four beasts, that's the angels, seraphims, cherubims. And lo, in the midst of the elders, he's right up there with all the redeemed saints of God. The midst of the elders. Listen now, keep your eyes on him. Stood a lamb. A lamb. As it had been slain. Blood all over it, wounds in every part of his person, his being. This lamb, I mean, he looked like death warmed over. Everything that could have been stripped from him had been stripped from him. I mean, it was a sorrowful look. It was a sorrowful. It's all a type now. It's not literal. He didn't actually see a lamb. He saw the Lamb of God. He didn't actually see a woolly animal. He saw the redeemed saint of God. But now he's not seeing him like he saw him in chapter 1 as this one that the light is bright and blessed, and he falls on his face. Now he sees him as being crucified. He sees him as he looked that day at Calvary. He sees him as he looked as he drug that cross from the place of his beating to the place of his nailing. Oh, he looks pathetic. And John sees him as a lamb that hath been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And then the Lamb, the Son of God, the crucified one, walks right up to the Father. And the Father probably, the Bible don't record this, but the Father probably said, "My Son, of whom I'm well pleased." Hallelujah. He said that, remember, when John the Baptist baptized him. He said that, you remember, when he was glorified on the mountain and they saw him transfigured. The Father had spoken both of those times. And now the Bible don't say he said this, but I like to think he said something. Hallelujah. The Son of God walks up to God the Father, who had begat his Son and sent him into the world. And he reaches up and the Father says, "My Son, in you I'm well pleased. You have earned this book. You've earned the right to look at this book. You've earned the right to open this book. You've learned the right to read this book." And he hands this book to the Son of the living God, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And now the Lamb of God takes that book. Hallelujah. And the greatest process of human history begins. The cleansing and redeeming of this universe. Oh, somebody raise a hand. Hallelujah. Not only did he redeem us, but he redeemed the whole cosmos. He redeemed this earth. You look around you and you see that wicked crowd. You hear that crowd who would say same-sex marriage is okay. You hear that crowd who would butcher little babies and sell their flesh as commodities of wealth. Oh, you look at all of that stuff and you say, what in the world is wrong? I'm here to tell you, the Son of God has redeemed every bit of it. Oh, the final action isn't over. The final day isn't complete. The hour of redemption is not here yet, but we're waiting. It's just like we're sitting on the threshold of the greatest hour of human history. The Son of God, hallelujah, is about to come in his splendor and his glory. Hallelujah. That blessed Lamb of God redeemed us and saved us. He redeemed this universe. He put judgment upon every wicked man there is. Somebody raise a hand and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't we a blessed bunch of people? Hallelujah. We know that Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We got acquainted with him. He has already saved us, and we're now children of the King. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Notice what John said. John the Revelator, 1:27. The Lamb of God that taketh away, notice, the sin, listen to that, of the world. Amen. There is not one place on the face of this globe. There's not one wicked spot where some godless person reigns. There's nothing that isn't about to be redeemed. He's going to put sin to death. He's going to close the book on sin. I said he's going to close the book on sin. He's going to close the book on wicked people. Anybody that questions the validity of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world is in for the darkest period of all human history. No wonder I want to hear that trumpet sound, and I want the world to hear it, because I want people to remember whom they forgot about, and whom they forsook, and whom they turned their back on, and whom they had no time for. Oh, you say, I got so many things to do. I got places to go. I got things to love. I want to tell you something. It's nothing wrong with using the world as long as you only use it. But you better not abuse it, because there's a higher order. There's a higher purpose. There's a higher calling. There's a higher opportunity. There's a God who wants your love. There's a Christ who died to be your Redeemer, who died to be your Savior, who died to give you a new body, to give you a wonderful life. Brother, it's awaiting us. Would you raise your hand and just hold it up there a minute? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Much of the world don't want sermons like this. They don't want to hear about the Lamb that was slain. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing else worth saying but the Lamb that was slain. I like to call him the bright and morning star, and I like to call him the Rose of Sharon, and I like to say Alpha and Omega. I like to say the beginning in the end. I like to speak of him as eternal life. I like to talk about him as the water of life, the bread of life, the power of life. I like to talk about all of that. But I want to tell you something this morning. I want to talk about the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. The Lamb that was crucified. The Lamb that died for you. Slip your hand up. Well, the Holy Ghost is here this morning. I want everybody to stand with me, please. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you slip your hand up? Everybody stand in that cannon wheel. Hallelujah. Listen to me. He died for you, Brother Lindsay. Brother Buck Lindsay, he died on that cross for you. Hallelujah. Sister Ruby, he was suffering like a lamb for you to be healed for the miracles of God in your life. Hear me, young people. He died for you. He died for your spiritual benefits. He died to give you life eternal, life immortal, life wonderful. Hallelujah. You cut on throne, Sabbath, Corbia. I wish everybody in here would just raise a hand and let the Holy Ghost have his way. I wish you would let God fill you with the Holy Ghost this morning. I love to hear the saints of God speaking in the heavenly language. That's the language of the divine, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you speak in the unknown tongues, even the devil can't interpret it. Hallelujah. Oh, raise your hands and love on him. Raise your hands and love on him. Forget everything else. Don't be in a hurry. Let's let God. Let's see. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I love it. How don't you love him? Don't you love him? The crucified one, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. That name is so far above all the others to me this morning. Hallelujah. That I'm going to call him the Lamb of God in the future more than ever before. I got to love him like I've never loved him. I got to praise him. I want to so love him that he can in return fill me with the Holy Ghost that will come alive to everybody that even gets close to me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're not in a hurry now. We're going to wait a moment while you just let God talk to you. Will you let God talk to you this morning? Will you let God move on your heart this morning? Will you give yourself afresh to him? How many would like to say, I want to belong to the Lamb of God as never before? Would you slip your hand up? I want to belong to him. I want to be his. 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 The Lamb of God. Isn't the Bible wonderful to give us this picture? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, church. I've enjoyed preaching to you this morning. Will you look at me? How many of you will think of him more than ever as the Lamb rather than those great superlative terms? You know, when you think of him as the bright and morning star, wow, hallelujah, that's what he is. See, he's everything between the Lamb that was slain and the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's all between everything. He's worthy. He's worthy. The Father gave him the only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lead us in prayer, Brother Marlon, as we all stand here together.
Express, Lord, enough of the gratitude and the thanks for an almighty God that gave us such a wonderful gift.
And
the Lamb slain for us. that suffered and died and took away our sin. Not only took away our sin, but God was given the right and the authority to cleanse the whole creation of sin.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, God, that we'll never have to look upon sin again.
Never.
Oh, that we'll never be tempted.
Never hear another cursed word.
Oh, God, that the very thought of sin will be far removed. Glory and honor and praise be unto thee, oh, God. Holy, 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 Lord God. We glory in thee, Father.
We glory. Hallelujah.
Make us understand, Lord, the responsibility we have. Oh, God, of submitting and surrendering unto that Lamb. Oh, God, of dying all of ourselves, Lord, that we might live in that life that he gives us, Father. Oh, Lord, that holiness and righteousness of that Lamb slain might consume us, that we might be, oh, God, living sacrifices.
Yes, Lord.
For he will sacrifice for us, Father. For your love and your grace.
Hallelujah.
Make us understand and realize the responsibility we have to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hear me, saith the Lord. I gave my only begotten Son for you. He was slain, became the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. He did it for you that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All that reject it shall spend eternity in a dark and damnable place. But all that receive it and live in it shall know the joys of heaven forever, saith the Lord. I call you to be mine. Mitros, I might turn, lift your hand up and wave it before the Lord and let him know you love these promises that are ours. You love these promises that are ours. Everything else is a lost. Everything else is a lost. If you don't have Jesus, you're a collector of me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. I love you, church. Make sure you give Sister Patricia your a big welcome and meet her friend. Sorry I didn't get that name, Sister Holden. I just didn't think about it. Hallelujah, your friend's name. But make sure they feel welcome and get acquainted. Hallelujah. Isn't God good to us? Pray for the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm waiting on God for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, church. Those 10 days of tarrying for Pentecost, I can hardly wait. We'll try to get the school started and get that behind us so that sometime in the 1st of September, we can have a week of intercession. How many will join me for a week of tarrying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost afresh? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. You'll join me. Amen. You've been so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for your loving mercies, your loving kindnesses, your loving graces. You've been good to us, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We magnify you. I'll lift your hearts up to him a little bit, will you? Lord, we just love you. We love